The Federal Aviation Administration's next-gen systems falling behind its timeline to meet a 2012 deadline for operation. Next-gen will move air traffic control from ground-based radars to satellite-based systems. The Government Accountability Office is looking at what it will take to get next-gen back on track. Dr. Gerald Dillingham is the Director of Physical Infrastructure Issues at GAO, my guest to talk about testimony to Congress on that subject. Dr. Dillingham, thanks for being on the program today. It's good to have you.
Thanks for inviting us, Francis.
What did you have to say about what you found at FAA in regards to NextGen?
What we told the Congress yesterday was that FAA was, in fact, we thought they were about to turn the corner in terms of being able to deliver the next-gen system as planned. The concern is that there are still challenges out there that if they don't meet those challenges, then it will be delayed, and those delays will not only cost a significant amount of money, but it will delay us getting those capabilities that we need to have a modernized air traffic control system.
Now, FAA has been working on NextGen since 2003. They've got a 2012 deadline for some near-term goals and midterm capabilities through 2018. What do the timelines look like right now?
Well, it looks like that they are going to be real close to meeting the near-term deadlines. They are making adjustments so that the systems that they're putting in are the systems that are going to yield benefits immediately for the airlines and for the flying public. 2025 is a little far out at this point to be able to see how close they are.
The strategic plan that they put out, and you mentioned it's 2025, for something that's as technologically complex as this system, and for as quickly as we're finding technology changing, is that part of the reason that it's hard to look at a 2025 plan and get a sense of whether it's on track or not?
You're absolutely right, because technology is changing so fast. In fact, some of the technologies that we're putting in now have been around for about a decade. We're talking about using GPS and satellite navigation kinds of things. These are the kinds of capabilities that you now have in your car with a GPS. But when you're working with a system as critical and as large as ours, it takes some time. So you're right. By 2025, things may have changed considerably.
Is FAA getting a handle on how to deal with the ongoing funding issues that go around, not just for NextGen? I mean, we covered pretty extensively the whole partial shutdown issue and the issues that they've had with funding in Congress. Are they able to get a handle on that element of how to deal with this?
So far, you know, FAA still has not gotten a final 2012 budget, but the documents and the discussion that are leading up to that seem to suggest that there would be sufficient money for FAA to carry on the next-gen program in a time-efficient manner.
Now, you testified yesterday that over the past couple of years, FAA has taken a number of steps and followed a lot of recommendations from both you and the Transportation Inspector General regarding implementing NextGen. What are some of the things that they've done that have helped them to kind of stay on course?
Well, initially, the long-term modernization was tied up and very much a part of the running of the system every day. When you're running a system 24/7 and you want to modernize it, I think it's been talked about like trying to change the tire on a car that's going 60 miles an hour. At the same time, with this system, we're changing drivers as well when we change administrators or directors. So they've been able to establish a more efficient governance and management overview of the system. And so we're guardedly optimistic that now that we have these kinds of things in place where there's accountability and they're moving towards outcome measures, that these are the kinds of things that the airlines and the flying public and the Congress are interested in seeing as part of, we've got a place to go and we know how we're going to get there.
You talked about some of the delays in some of the procurements, some of the acquisitions, and how they've caused kind of a ripple effect where other projects are delayed because of the initial delays. What are those delays usually attributed to?
What we talked about a lot yesterday was the ERAM program, which is sort of like the foundation where other systems are attached to it. And some of the reasons why those things happen is it's very software intensive, and it is also almost airport specific when they put these kinds of systems in. And the other part of it was that we had a human factors issue with this piece of equipment that we were talking about, in that the people who operate the system, namely the air traffic controllers, were not as involved in the development as it should have been. So when it was brought out to the airfields, it just didn't work the way it was intended to work.
The typical acquisition end user procurement shop vendor situation where those three aren't necessarily always talking to each other through the process?
You're exactly right. Early and constant involvement of the people who are going to use the equipment is a must.
As you look at where NextGen stands today, do you have a sense of overall where it's headed and any recommendations that came out of this testimony yesterday?
Well, what we see is 2 years ago, FAA got together with the users of the system and other major stakeholders and decided that there are some capabilities, some improvements that we can make right now within the next year or so with equipment that is already on the aircraft, and everybody is sort of singing off the same song sheet now. Let's do what we can do now. Let us, in fact, have some success and raise the credibility or confidence of the aviation community so that they will come in full bore on this. So we think they're on their way. We're guardedly optimistic, put it that way.
Gerald, thank you very much for being on the program to talk about this. We have your testimony linked up at federalnewsradio.com, and I appreciate your time this afternoon.
All right, thanks for having us on.